Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. It's Monday, and we're broadcasting to you live, or podcasting. Mummy has to get up to speed with her terminology. We're podcasting to you live, and we're coming to you from high atop the Chrysler Building in the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin, right in the heart of Manhattan, can you imagine? And actually, my producer and my crew are all in the studio there in the Café Berlin ballroom, but I am actually on a remote, can you imagine, in Philadelphia, actually King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Isn't that exciting? And King of Prussia is a very charming little place. And of course, the mall here is twice the size of the town. It's wonderful to be here. I'm here on business. And I've been broadcasting from different parts of the country at different points when I'm not home in New York. My producer is online, though, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, are you there?
I am here. I'm here in the studio watching Revolve.
Gwendolyn sometimes steps out of the control room and makes the mistake of wandering out on the ballroom floor, and then it's turning around and around and around. And she, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but Gwendolyn and I did experiment with drugs in the 60s, and sometimes the revolving ballroom does cause her to have a bad acid trip flashback, much like Diane Linkletter, except Gwendolyn doesn't imagine spiders all over the walls. And so we try to guide her gently back into the control room and put her in front of a board with pulleys and knobs and things to turn and play with so that she doesn't get too dizzy. I want to remind you that this is Come Now, Don't Sulk, and we are part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time and 7 Central, or your corresponding time zones. And we found out last week, or Gwendolyn researched, that we had listeners last week from Russia, from Brazil, New Zealand. Can you imagine that? Apparently some people from King's Landing or from whatever those wonderful lands were in Game of Thrones. We had, of course, our European crowd, including some Brexits, and we're going to have to scold them very soundly. But we had, it's not enough to have listeners here in America, but we had listeners from all over the world, and of course, some of my favorite people down in Australia. I want to say a special hello to all my Aussie friends and listeners, and yes, Mummy will come down there and visit with you someday, provided that Dame Edna won't scratch my eyes out. our sponsor, as always, is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis, ISIS.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And Gwendolyn is the chairman of the board there, and the she's one of many of the inventriatrixes there. She's the fragriatrix premier there. And Gwendolyn, it's the first, last night in the middle of the night was the autumn equinox. And that's the time when we're in balance sort of for a while before we head into the winter. What's a fragrance that we should be watching for and maybe purchase off the daughtersofisis.com online web shop? What's a great fragrance that you would recommend for us?
Well, we are actually going into today is the actual autumnal equinox here in our hemisphere. And we call that Maybon. And there's a wonderful goddess scent that I've created a mister with. And it's about, because now we begin to turn inward and explore ourselves. We are inspired and we dream and, you know, just wonderful things happening in that inner life. So I am going to pick one of, I've chosen one of our great grandmothers, Hecate. And it's called Hecate's Cavern, is the scent. And this is meant to help us prepare for making inner journeys. It's a recovery too from panic through alignment with your wise woman or your wise man, that inner wise counsel. It's facing and embracing that darkness or fear within us for transformation, which is something we need right now overall. I would hire planes to spray it over certain cities. And alignment.
Crop dusters. Yes, to get crop dusters to do it. It'd be wonderful.
Be expensive, but worth it. And alignment with our grandmother ancestors, too. And I'll tell you, it took me a while to come up with this blend because it had to be right. And so what I finally came up with was black currant absolute and cedarwood essential oil and violet flower, and that's an absolute, and some aged patchouli with wormwood.
Wow.
And it's on sale.
Gosh.
It's on sale for $20 a 4-ounce bottle.
Wow, so, that sounds wonderful. Well, everyone, tonight while you're online with us, at some point do check in daughtersofisis.com, their website, and look for that. It's on a special tonight, and it's, oh my God, that sounds delish, simply delish. And I want to remind all my listeners that I was an aviatrix, as you know, and I had my own little biplane, and I would love to pull it out of the garage and literally start crop dusting, certainly in the Midwest, with this fragrance. That would be fabulous. That would be wonderful. Put on my little scarf, my Amelia Earhart goggles, and my little skull cap, and my, my jodhpurs and my flight jacket, and go up in the air on a cool fall night and spray the entire red state area with all of that. That would be wonderful. It might be real eye-opening. That sounds delicious. We're going to talk afterwards, Gwendolyn, because I'd like a little sample of that. Mummy would like to have some of that to spray on before our next performance, our next broadcast. That sounds delish. I want to remind people that – go. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
It's the violet flower that actually – and the mixture with that black currant in those woods.
Those two things, black currant and violets, sound absolutely delish.
It's a sensual journey.
I'm gonna have to read the directions. Are any of these fragrances things that I could like put a few drops into some cookie dough and
I've done it at different what we call the Sabbaths, which today is one, Mabon, the autumnal equinox, and you know that's a great idea for a cookie. The wormwood, it's negligent. It would be tasty. But the cedarwood, I don't know how that would taste in a cookie.
Yeah,
but
maybe not that.
In a muffin.
Well, let's be careful. You know what, ladies and gentlemen at home, Gwendolyn and I will review this before our next podcast, and we'll actually determine whether any of these essential oils are edible. We certainly don't want you buying a fragrance or a roll-on and then, you know, putting it into cookie dough and poisoning a bunch of eight-year-olds at a birthday party.
No. But you can find all the information to use essential oils in your baking and cooking online safely. And Mummy,
we do have
a caller coming on in.
Oh, okay. Well, would you hold the caller for 1 second? I want to remind everyone that Mummy and Gwendolyn try to make this show pertinent for all parts of the world, all of our broadcast listeners. But obviously, we're Gwendolyn and I are so caught up in our Hecate, the fall up, autumnal equinox thing, and we're neglecting our south of the border crowd, which is all in their vernal equinox, our Australia, New Zealand crowd, our South Africa crowd. Is all having their vernal equinox right now. So we have to remember that. We're going to have to advertise some fragrances that are perfect for spring and for feeling happy and jolly, which is completely the opposite of what I'm feeling right now with fall and the onset of winter, unless, of course, I simply flee and go down to Rio or something. All right, let's take our first caller tonight, okay? First caller, who is this?
Hello, Sybil. This is Stephen Russo in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Enjoying the lovely weather, although it's been terribly bone. I just heard on the news last night it's been over 20 days with no rain. Last night there was a few drops, which cooled down nicely. But they said it's the longest stretch of no rain for, like, 20 or 30 years in this area.
I
know.
So
I've been out there. I have some ancient dogwoods. Like, one year, several years ago, one of them died because I wasn't paying attention to the water level. So I made sure to give them and a magnolia, you know, a couple hours of water from the hose and stuff like that to make sure they used to. Fortunately, the one that died had a nearby that are now, you know, 30 feet tall, not very thick, but they're doing nicely. But, today it was wonderfully, you know, dry and cool, and Sherman and I, Tiger Cat, were outside on our evening walk enjoying that, swatting away the swarms of thousands of mosquitoes. So just got in for that. My question was actually, excuse me?
You're cutting in and out a little bit. If you're on a cell phone,
I'm on a cell phone, but I'm not on speaker. Maybe
No, but Stephen, are you walking around?
No,
Stephen.
I'm sitting in my chair 20 feet from my Wi-Fi box. So
that's
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, my question, I don't normally ask about fragrances or use them. And the one you were just mentioning, what is that called again?
Gwendolyn?
Hecate's Tavern.
Okay.
Hecate, explain who Hecate was, Gwendolyn. For the home audience, explain who Hecate was in mythology.
Well, Hecate is what you would call the dark grandmother and a fierce protector. She was a goddess. She was the crone goddess of magic, witchcraft, the night moon, the deep night moon. She also knew how to talk to spirit and practice. Thirty, yes, but necromancy was something that they would pin on her. But she was the only child of Perseus and Asteria, and she held sway in both the heavens above and very deep below in the earth. And there are stories about her getting there in the sea. I mean, her symbols are those of, I'll tell you one large symbol of hers. Any black gemstone you ever pick up, her resonance is within it. She's a triple goddess aspect, and she always had her dogs. You've heard of Hecate's dogs. That are guard dogs, which makes her a protector. She's a very big protector, especially of women of the house. Powerful lunar vibration there. But she brings you within. She's deep in the earth, and you go deep within yourself. And that's the alignment of this grandmother goddess.
Well, that is fascinating. I will have to repost that remark. You know, I was fascinated, as Sybil was, by just the list of exotic and just, it does sound almost intoxicating from your description. There's a picture by, I forget what it's called. It's not called Fairy Grandmother, but something like that. It's one of the most marvelous magical paintings by Brian Froud, who designed The Dark Crystal. That movie by Jim Henson. You might want to check out, there's a new Netflix series I've heard is wonderful. I actually haven't started watching that yet. I'm going to binge on it soon. But there was this incredible picture, and you reminded me of that. I'll make a post to that to Lolly Sybil's Lollipop group page, and I'll mention your fragrance and provide a link to it because it made me think of that picture.
Thank you.
You'll love it once you see it. It's just all of his work. He did this big book called Fairies and a tarot deck and everything by this big, large format book, and it's just you can stare at those forever, and they're just magical to meditate
they're
upon.
They're quite beautiful.
I guess more with the violets. I guess you would think of it more as a feminine type fragrance for women mainly. Is that protector of the mother of the house?
I would not. I would say because I have male practitioners and male healers that have been working with it. I've had the blend for about 8 months, and they're working with it too because it's an inner journey work. This is the time of the year when we go within.
I don't really anymore. I just turned 59 about a week ago, I don't do a lot of going out. I'm single now, so I wouldn't be wearing it to attract suitors or anything. But it just has an aromatherapy kind of thing. It sounds marvelous, and I was going to ask about what is the now, wormwood, as I'm sure you both know, is the intoxicating element in what is the liqueur, the green liqueur?
Absinthe.
Yes, wormwood is the intoxicating substance in absinthe. And you mentioned experimenting with drugs once upon a time. I actually, a long time ago, read about that, and I got, some dried, wormwood herb. And you soak it in alcohol and try to just kind of make my own homebrew, but just to test the effects. And it was quite weird, very sort of foggy. And, I wouldn't want to have done it more than once. And it's no longer sold generally because it's dangerous for the liver. But it's fascinating. What aroma-wise does wormwood add? Does it add an earthiness and a bitterness or something,
I would assume? Yes, it's much like its taste. It is bitter, but it is green and very earthy. It provides a foundation to the formula. About absinthe, they are basically right now distilling it again, and you can purchase it in this country online. Yeah, Full Tilt Absinthe, which is distilled much differently than the essential oil is. And it's a larger process with the plant.
Sure. So to be takeable internally, you would have to.
Well, it's not that. The essential oil is basically safer in many ways because absinthe can be extraordinarily, and it's very bitter, as you said, but it's not as bitter when you the old-fashioned way in pre-industrial and coming into the industrial age, they basically would drop it over the sugar cubes to make it palatable.
Right.
There's old contraptions that are wonderful antiques that are made for that. So, yes, there's a big difference. I think Mummy knows all this stuff and she's just sitting there listening.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Stephen. What?
I was going to say thank you so much, Gwendolyn. You're a font of knowledge and talent.
Isn't she?
With your
She's amazing.
Scent. I haven't bought anything like that in a long time, but I'm probably going to go ahead and get some of that just for my own aromatherapeutic purposes for the fall. It sounds incredible.
Fabulous.
I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful that I didn't know Gwendolyn back in the 60s and 70s and have access to all of her fragrances and things, because I was notorious not only then as an adult, but even earlier than that as a child for putting everything into my mouth that my parents left about the house. I would put objet, I would put valuable antiques off the table, I would put Hummels, little Hummel statues of children with their squirrels. I would try to eat them. I thought they were sugar candies. And the thought of having Gwendolyn's fragrance, she's got like 100 products, certainly in the 60s and 70s, I would have smoked, snorted, injected, or even used them as suppositories. I would have douched with many of her fragrances to figure out any kind of drug high that I could have gotten off of wormwood. Forget that. I'm talking about cedar, vanilla, blackberry brandy, anything that she has in there. Thyme, rosemary, spices from the kitchen, things that were pretty colors. Mummy was always fascinated by things that were bright, flashy colors. I would have done anything. And it's really, I'm so grateful that I've only become aware of the daughtersofisis.com recently. And I'm so glad that as an elderly adult now, I only put half of the things that are put in front of me in my mouth now. And I draw the line at certain other things.
About me, as a toddler, for some reason, I found this out later by photographs my mother showed me and the stories she told me. I had a thing for like chicken leg bones. There's photographs of me in my bouncy baby thing put in the doorway with like chicken bones in my chicken bone, sucking on a chicken bone. Of course, I didn't have teeth enough to crunch them and swallow them and hurt myself, but I was a little more basic. Give me a chicken bone and I'm happy.
But Stephen, you were in a bounce. You were in the bouncy thing that.
Yes, in the bouncy thing, they put a giant puddle of drool under me sucking on a chicken bone.
What's a funny coincidence right now is that I, too, was in a bouncy thing, drooling with chicken bone in a diaper, and that was at 53 years of age. So you see, and it's only now that I'm much older than that I have finally drawn the line and said, I have, like the biblical thing, and when I was a child, I had the things of a child, but as an adult, I have put away my bouncy thing. I have also put away my drooly chicken bones. And at this point, as an adult, I must be the thing of, what is it in the Old Testament? But as an adult, I accept the things of being an adult. And so now I only put half of Gwendolyn's fragrances in my mouth or other orifices.
Gentlemen, our mummy and gentlemen, I want you to know that with all of this wonderful description, you've actually, our gal pal who's always listening in, Pamela Kirk, Pam Kirk, has just perched at a Hecate's Cavern. So thank you very much.
I'm in front of, by the way, I just want to mention that daughtersofisis.com is our sponsor, and I have a special link on my laptop here in Philadelphia. I always check the sales graphs that come in over the internet. And sales now of daughtersofisis.com are spiking right now off our switchboard because of the Hecate's Cavern. And they also want the money sent, and they also want the – oh, they're asking – I'm getting an email right now from someone saying, where is the bouncy thing sent, Gwendolyn? We want the bouncy thing sent. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a bouncy thing sent, but we will make one. Yes, we will have got one set up immediately, and we will call it the bouncy thing sent, and that will be good for October,
great.
I think. Stephen, thank you so much for calling in and
so
making us laugh.
Yeah, it's been delightful talking to you, and thank you for all the fascinating information, Gwendolyn, and I'll definitely
call
in. That sounds incredible, so thank you. Bye-bye, all. Back to the show.
Have a good night. Say good night to Sherman for us.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to remind everyone, you know, that you can call in, just as Stephen just did, 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. This is the first broadcast after the autumnal, of the fall. We are now in the autumn of 2019 because of that autumnal equinox last night at 3 a.m. I want to remind everyone that we can be found on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com. We are on the Lollipop Guild on Facebook, but Mummy is also expanding and branching out into Instagram and Twitter, and you'll be finding me more and more there. And all of my stories and my anecdotes and my full recipes and everything will be on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And announcements about this show will be there as well, on Instagram and Twitter. We're no longer going to be relying on only Facebook for our announcements or for putting out, our Daughters of ISIS announcements. Or we will still have a page there for Daughters of ISIS, but we're not going to have everything, the Here Be Monsters thing, the Blog Talk Radio, all of that. We're going to be branching out in all directions, and I'm doing that with Gwendolyn's guidance, which I love. Mummy is an old dog, and she's willing to learn lots of new tricks on Instagram and Twitter because we know that we have lots of people waiting there for us. Speaking of which, on Instagram and Twitter, if you go there, you will see my beef stock recipe apropos for the fall and the cooler weather, and that will be there for you. So I have a wonderful recipe for dreamy beef stock, which can be used in so many recipes, and we'll go into that. Today's news item, by the way, we're sort of adapting this show month by month. We're looking at what we should be doing, and we addressed last week what listeners want, quote unquote. Some of you want, jellies and jam recipes, and some of you want rabid, political rants and everything. And then the major group of you, we don't know what you want because you don't call in, nor do you write in. But we're willing to adjust the show to what our listeners want. Apropos of which, one thing we are going to start doing is we're going to have a short political part where we do the headlines, and this will be a bit like a newspaper. You open a newspaper and you can go to the sports page and the gossip page or whatever. Well, we're going to have a political little moment here. This is a podcast newspaper, and we're not going to dwell on this unless people call in and glom onto that, but I just want to salute a girl, and I just found out that she's actually 16, although she comes off as 12. And you all, well, I know my producer, Gwendolyn, is going to be thrilled. I'm going to salute Greta Thunberg. Swedish. She comes off as a little girl. I actually announced her today as a little girl in one of my rants on Facebook. She got up in front of the UN and had the balls, literally, to scold them. She was nearly tearful. She was bright red, and she was literally turning purple. She was so angry, and she scolded all of the nations in the UN General Assembly about climate change. And I don't think I actually researched online trying to figure out, has there ever been someone who spoke that rudely and dismissively to that body ever before? And I can't find any record dating back to the beginning of the UN of anyone who was so insulting and dismissive and scolding and derogatory. The only thing she did not do is say four-letter words and insult graphically each of their mother's anatomies. And if she had done that, she would have been a bigger hero to me, because what she did basically was shame them and say, I am a girl who should be in school across the ocean, and here I am having to tell you how to be responsible people. She basically, I should have brought the transcript. I should have brought the transcript up online and read it to you. For those of you that did not see it, I want you to go to the internet. One second, I want you to go to the internet, all of you tonight, and I'm like, what's his name in network? I want you to be mad as hell. I want you to go there and read what this little girl said to all of these overprivileged one percenter politicians, including that orange bag of monkey pudding that we call a president. She laid everyone out, and of course, he left the room, which is classic for a 12-year-old. He couldn't bear being spoken to by a fellow eighth grader or whatever. So he was spoken to by another child in the room, and his response was to get up and leave. And Mike Pence followed him doggedly out. It is absolutely inconceivable. Gwendolyn, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
She's a little Valkyrie is what she is. She's Viking stock. She is. Really, frankly, I mean, and those were the first hulls that hit the shores on the eastern coast here that we know of in our historical knowledge were Vikings. And she came across the sea like that, which and a solar powered book just impressed the heck out of me. And
I was shocked when I saw the speech. I was stunned. I literally was stunned that someone was speaking that way. At first, I couldn't believe that she was actually in the room with all of those leaders. And it was like, oh my God, this girl. Yes, is she? Now, some people, you know, the naysayers out there and the snarkers are going to say, well, she's got Asperger's. I mean, she looks kind of weird and she acts a little weird. She's kind of, quote unquote, on the spectrum of autism. Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God
yeah.
she is.
Thank
you know
God
what?
It.
Maybe what
thank
we need,
God
the whole premise. Yeah, thank the premise of X-Men is that they're a bunch of freaks. They're all misfit freaks that end up saving the world. Maybe this is where art imitates life, or maybe it's life imitating art. Here is a girl who is autistic on some level of the spectrum. You know, she's obviously not, you know, crazed and can't take care of herself, but can count, you know, 3,000 beans that are thrown on the floor and do multiples of them, like, you know, idiot savant. She is not an idiot savant, but she is clearly a brilliant girl who is...
She's a brave girl.
A brave girl. And whatever she has that is quote unquote wrong with her, and I use the term loosely, is what may be so very right about her. Maybe what we need is crazies to countermand and counteract the craziness of an orange bag of jiggling monkey pudding, his idiot sidekick who mills around behind him from the Hoosier state, Bitch McConnell, flimsy graham cracker, Tom Cornhole, all of these people that are just Rudy Giuliani. Oh my God. If we're going to have demons and imps from hell parading around the world, let's have some autistic people wandering around. Let's have some saints, and the old thing about saints being maybe autistic or whatever, maybe we need the martyrs and saints that were having spells and epileptic seizures and stuff. Maybe we need them to counteract what is happening, because quote unquote
right.
the normal crowd, the normal red state, the central part of the company with its family values, again, quotations around that, its Christian morality, the quotations around that, its pro-life quote around that. Pro-life, they're not about pro-life. They're not taking care of their own grandchildren. The world is ending, and people who are pro-life against abortion are not taking care of five-year-olds who are toddlers today who are going to inherit this world. Where are they going to be in 50 years? You're not pro-life. You're not pro-life.
That's one of the things she said today. People are dying, and all you can talk about is the money and fairy tales of eternal
yes.
economic growth. I mean,
yes.
she's spot on, and she had a set of ovaries, mommy. You know that better than anyone.
Weren't you stunned? I didn't see her talking off a teleprompter or notes.
No,
she just opened her mouth
to.
And began speaking.
Yeah.
She just spoke and said all of those things.
She shot a dead stare at Trump. She shot a dead stare right at him for like 4 seconds and walked out.
Yeah. Well,
a little
again,
girl.
I said this back when George Bush was president. Gwendolyn, we thought he was the worst thing that could ever have happened to this country. He is nothing but a wet fart compared to the last 2 years. George W. Bush is a pimple on someone's behind compared to the Gibraltar of toxicity that we have now. We have literally a cancerous tumor sitting in the White House that is the size of Gibraltar. George Bush was nothing but a pimple waiting to be popped compared to this. And here's this girl, this little girl, getting up in front of the entire UN and nailing it and shaming them. I hope that we have more of these kids out of control. I hope they're protesting. I want more school strikes. I have been saying that I would get my Madame Defarge outfit out. I want guillotines set up. I want the gutters to run red.
And these kids, come on, join me. Come on, Greta. Yeah. If you're going to be the world's biggest terrorist, I'm behind you. Terrify the powers that be. Have at it. You know, again, this statistic was just released. Up to 1 million of the estimated 8 million plant and animal species on Earth are at risk of immediate extinction. This is the remaining ones. This is the we've already lost
200,
millions, but this is
200 a day, 200 a day, and it makes my eyes water.
Yes, mine too. But the statistic that has come out is 1 million of the estimated 8 million, and they didn't put the 8 million remaining. There is as Greta said, there's a mass extinction occurring on Earth. And this 8 million is the remaining 8 million. 1 million are due to be lost within the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
We are one cosmic moment away from a full-on paradigm shift. This exposure had to happen, and it's going to continue. And I think it's just gearing up. And she's opened the door. So have politicians across the globe too that want to see this change happen. And I'll tell you what, a majority of them have sets of ovaries on them, okay? This little gal has come over here to say, you know, what she did today, right here, right now, is where we draw the line.
Yeah. Well, I hope that the Parkland kids, I hope that Greta, as far as I'm concerned, as many young people as possible, I want you to go home. I want you to shame your parents. I want you to humiliate them. I want you to humiliate your neighbors, your schoolmates' parents. Have at it. Have at it. Let's have as much, you know, if we're in a situation where we're having mass shootings that aren't even in the news anymore, the statistics are shocking. We have mass shootings all the time that we don't hear of anymore because there's too many of them. There's too many. So what I want is a reign of terror, and I want an equal reign of terror on the part of these progressive, forward-thinking kids who are not going to tolerate, and I love Gwendolyn, but Gwendolyn and I are old white people, and our people, our demographic, have been responsible for this mess, and I want and I've said this to you before, Gwendolyn. I've joked about this, and I've said it online. If I must go onto the bonfire, I go laughingly, willingly, as long as the children will allow me to take a hold of Bitch McConnell and Flimsy Graham Cracker and pull them into the flames with me. See, I will gladly go.
And you'll be the better dressed.
For the sake of the earth. But I will go for the sake of the earth. I will go. But I must be allowed to take some of them with me. This is where people strap dynamite to themselves and they say, "I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to take 10 of you with me." It's like this is war, and these people who are doing these things and getting away with it month after month after month, news cycle after news cycle after news cycle. Yes, yeah. If I have to go as being an old white person, I go laughingly, joyously. I go to the guillotine as long as I can drag two of them with me. You know, Bitch McConnell, Flimsy Graham Cracker, Tom Cornhole, Rudy Giuliani. It's too much to ask to take the president and the vice president with me. But if I could take the Koch brothers with me. This is absolutely, if there must be a purging like there was in the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution, I go willingly, as long as I can take some of the enemy with me, because this has gone way out of control. That a girl from Sweden is coming over to this country and standing up in front of the world and lecturing a bunch of overpaid, overeating one percenters who do nothing but snicker and laugh behind everyone's backs. They are, the trickle-down theory is the sound of them urinating on the world's head. That's all the trickle-down means. There's nothing happening. Wall Street is a complete shell game. It's a three-card Monty game being played on the public's, trust. And this economy thing that all of these poor slobs in the red states, you know, who are working at Walmarts are saying, well, he's good for the economy. He's not good for the economy. That is all you and your three teeth that are left in your head. He is not good for the economy. Wall Street is not good for the economy. And there's not a boost in jobs. Whatever economy we have had was left over from Obama managing to pull us out of that wreck in 2008 that George Bush and the Wall Street crowd left us with. And that economy came back, and then Trump inherited it. He didn't do anything. And this tax break, and we are all going to pay that $1 trillion deficit. The deficit is bankruptcy. Do you run your homes as a – any red stater, would you go to your wife and children and sit there at the dining room table and say, well, you know, our home is mortgaged. I'm trying to make payments on the car. But what I've done is I've gone out and borrowed money from any poor slob in town that would loan it to me, right? And I'm going to spend it on a trip to Disney World. Who would do such a thing? Who would bankrupt their own household? It's what's the biblical thing? He that troubleth his own household shall inherit the wind. Who would run their household the way Donald Trump is running this country?
Yeah.
No wonder he's declared bankruptcy 5 times. He is a spendthrift. He is an irresponsible, gold-plated lump of lead. You would never run your own household that way. And if you did, you'd be homeless and in a Maytag washing machine box down on the corner of Cherry Street, you know, in Toledo, Ohio, down by the piers. You'd be a filthy, lice-covered loser in a washing machine box if you ran your house the way this country is running its economy.
Yeah.
A deficit that's ballooning out of control, and you're going to saddle your grandchildren with that. Your grandchildren, I beg that your grandchildren live long enough to turn on you and say, you were shits. That's what a child should say to his grandparents.
It takes this kind of exposure to bring about revolt. And the biggest way that the masses have to revolt today is not to spend your money in certain places, and certainly to vote differently as long as we have those elections, because there's always going to be a hierarchy. That's society. But we do have some choices right now. I'm all for big structural change.
I am too.
I see that that's what's coming. I clearly see it. Anybody with a nose in the wind right now can smell it coming. And
well,
guys,
the dilemma for me is that, I agree with you completely. The dilemma for me is that everyone is dispelling Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and that they're too left and they're too radical and they're too this and they're too that and they're going to offend.
Elizabeth Warren just jumped over all of them in Iowa. She's running at the head of the ticket. We don't know what it will be in 4 months, but I got a good feeling. I really do.
Well, my thing is this, and I feel adamant. I understand why people, you know, were saying, well, now we want to appeal to the centrists and we want to appeal to the silent majority. We want to appeal to quote unquote nice people, and we want to and they're drooling themselves in their bouncy things. You know, and I'm telling you that those days may be over. We have gone too far to have nice man, quote unquote, like Joe Biden, you know, trying to bring both sides together. There's a point at which in France in 1789 and in Russia in 1918, those days of trying to make it nice had gone too far. And the only solution was a metal blade coming down on hundreds and thousands of heads, because they had duped people beyond the final straw. And finally, people just said, no, we all tried to compromise. We all tried to be bridge builders. We all tried. They all had their Barack Obama time, where it was like, well, let's treat them with respect. Let's treat the adversity, the other side with, respect, and let's, and of course we saw Obama was vetoed at every turn. Mitch McConnell said, I will veto everything that Obama suggests. Obama could have suggested the law of gravity, and Mitch McConnell would have said, no, things will fall up. I will do everything to me. John Boehner, everything will fall up. We will not cooperate with them in any way. Well, maybe that's, you know what? I'm at the point where if no Democrat wins, I'm not going to be so unhappy if Donald Trump comes back for 4 years. You know why? Because like at the end of I, Claudius, where Claudius says, you know what? Rome is so contaminated. It is so disgusting that the best thing that could happen now is for us to allow Rome to go haywire with Nero. That's what, that was the whole premise, was that emperor, they thought it was bad with Tiberius and Caligula. And now it's like, no, let Nero go even farther. If the state is now a rabid animal that's simply gorging itself on junk, you know what? Let's help it swallow more junk. Let's just push the manure down its throat until finally it vomits or explodes. And if that's what it takes, 4 more years of Donald Trump, and this country cannot stomach even Joe Biden, Joe Oatmeal Biden, maybe that would bring on the revolution. Elizabeth Warren off someplace safe, and Pete Buttigieg and everything. We'll put them in a bunker for 4 more years. We'll say, listen, we're going to lower food to you. We don't want you killed in the conflagration that's going to happen, the great conflagration of 2023. But you will be back, and by that time, half of the country will be in flames. Washington will be completely a smoking ruin, and we'll bring you out of the ashes, and then you can start to rebuild. Because by that time, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, they will have literally been consumed in the revolution that comes. They will have been taken to a basement with their children and shot the way they deserve, or they will be taken to a public square and beheaded with their children the way they deserve, or they'll be thrown, in my suggestion, which is much more painful, they should be thrown into a bonfire, shooting in a basement like the Romanovs. Oh, good heavens, no. Throw them into a bonfire. It's like, get rid of them, and then we'll have it. But we've got to do something. And this girl is a sign of, you know, 200 years from now, people, if we're still even alive as you know, species, Greta Thunberg will be, that will be something that will be dramatic, like the tennis court oath of the French Revolution, those moments, or the mother, the women's march, where all the mothers revolted and a bunch of French women, hundreds of French women starving, marched on Louis XVI, marched and demanded bread and demanded their attention. And the army, by the way, would refuse to fire on them. The military refused to fire on them because they were women, and there was not going to be a firing of shooting and cannons into crowds of women who marched. It's, you know,
that's basically what it's coming to, Mommy. I mean,
yes.
They are going to. Even the police are going to refuse to do the bidding. I mean, it's come to a head. It's getting ready to explode. And
absolutely,
astrologically speaking, next year into 2021, the first few months of 2021 are aspected with the Virgo nature of the United States Constitution and our government. And there's a huge Saturn, Plutonian, Uranian square that's coming up that's going to end, that's been going on for several years now, since 2011. And this exposure had to happen.
Yeah. Well, I knew Jerry Ragney, who is one of the two men that wrote Hair, the musical Hair. And speaking as an Aquarius, and with the dawning of the age of Aquarius and that song that came out, you know, 40 years ago, it was like, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Now, when I heard that, and then I thought, well, what does that mean? I researched it, and I guess it's an age that's going to last 1,000 years or something, or whatever.
2600.
Really? Okay. Well, all I can say is, as an Aquarian, I have been waiting for the dawning of the age of Aquarius. I've been waiting for something to really be vivid, because I'm, you know, I'm an egotist, and as an Aquarian, I would like to participate in that. And I think that so far, the dawning of the age of Aquarius has been a wet fart. So it's sort of like, okay, well, come on, Aquarius, let's kick in and let's see some fireworks. You know, it's a wonderful sign with all its, you know, good qualities and its mystical qualities. But I want to see some actual evidence of an Aquarius age. So I'm sitting, trying to be patient, waiting for this to kick in, as I know my other fellow Aquarians are too.
Give you Aquarian energy. You just did a whole half a show on Aquarian energy at the UN today. That's Aquarian energy.
That is true. Well, let's hope it gets better.
So are the progressives, and so are every one of them who is rebelling right now against authority and saying the known authority, the status quo. That's Aquarius. And Aquarius is light in the skies. It is.
Yeah. Well, Aquarians are revolutionary people. I mean, Galileo, Lincoln, they're misunderstood, and they often come to bad ends in their own lifetimes. But people later say, oh, weren't they magical? So I just would like my home audience to remember that Lincoln, Galileo, Sybil Brunson, when I finally do die in a fiery Zeppelin crash or am murdered by one of the Kennedys or something, I want you to look back on me and say, like you do on Galileo and Lincoln, to say, weren't they all special? They were fun and funny and smart and very pretty to look at. And I just want you to remember that. Listen, we're down to our 9 minutes. Our show's just about over. I want to remind everyone that our show is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do go to DaughtersOfIsis.com, that's all one word, on the internet, and shop for their wonderful products, including Hecate's Cavern. Is Hecate a pretty name to name your baby daughter? No. It's just, what would the nickname be? Oh, heck. Oh, heck, come on in here. No, of course, it's not a great name for a little girl, but that's not the issue. Hecate's Cavern is a great fragrance, and it's made with black blackberry and violet and patchouli and wormwood. What a combination. We're going to definitely look into a recipe that's going to do
also,
that.
Remember the Greeks would say Hecate. Not Hecate.
Okay.
Is sort of a Western
that, Gwendolyn, your point is so well taken, and yet I know that most of my listeners are going to agree that Hecate is not a pretty name for a girl, a boy, or even a dog. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing that if you went to the local rescue shelter and said, I'd like to adopt a dog, and, oh, that little dog over there is sweet, I'm going to name her Hecate. The people running the shelter would say, get the hell out of here. Who the hell are you? You're not naming one of our poor dogs. The dog has been abused enough. You think we're going to give a dog who's been through the mill?
Dancing with the dark mother.
Yes. I want to remind everyone to look for me on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunson.com. Also, look for us on the Lollipop Guild. It is a non-political, non-denominational page that is made only for happiness and joy and things that are fun to look at and read and do that. Also, as you know, I am pulling a lot of my material off of Facebook and putting it, I'm making my announcements more and more on Twitter, Instagram, and we're going to be providing direct links from those places to YouTube and to these websites. And we're going to be announcing something. I don't want to give it away too much yet, but Mummy has a couple of projects coming up this winter, and I suggest that we all turn to our hobbies. And as Gwendolyn was so wisely saying, and as I was reading on the internet about the fall equinox, the autumnal equinox, it's a time for turning inwards also. So here's Greta Thunberg turning outwards, coming across the country and going to the UN. Talk about the ultimate coming out. There's also a part of the fall, which is turning inward and looking at our spirituality, finding ways of being appreciative and grateful for things as opposed to loss. Fall is a time where we could be seduced into saying, oh, things are dying, things are leaving, things are passing away. We're losing the beautiful colors of summer, all of that, the warmth of summer. But there's also things about the gathering of the harvest, the recognizing of abundance, the recognizing of abundance in our own hearts and our own homes and our spirituality.
Family,
things like that. And not only family, but chosen family. Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners don't have family or don't have family that are sympathetic or empathetic to them. I want to remind all of you that it's very easy to say, well, my family hates my guts, or my family is gone. You know something? You build a family. As a matter of fact, your chosen family, when you love people and you select people to love, sometimes that's more family than even your own family, because what you've done is you've actually hunted them down. And so for those of you that have families that didn't, you know, support you and love you and support your choices, I think the Emmys last night spoke volumes about acceptance and feeling worthy. It was amazing to hear Michelle Williams' speech, for instance. There's all sorts of things happening in the world that are hopeful, and we just need to start looking for them. And if it means turning a rock over and looking, or looking up in the trunk in the attic or something, there's places in the world that sometimes you have to go looking for the beauty and the triumph in the world. And sometimes it's right under your very nose. Sometimes things that are really wonderful and worthy and worth celebrating have been in front of you the whole time. Write Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz. The next time I go looking for my heart's desire, I won't go any farther than my own backyard, because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with. Those words are the most magical words in the world. That's not just a stupid children's movie. That is a profound statement about life and spirituality. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be a Christian to appreciate the majesty and magic of those words. So let's really try that this week. Let's look for things to be, and as I always say, to be present, to be mindful, and to be grateful. We need to all do that. I do it all the time. I fail every day at it, and I get up and I try harder. I try to be more present, more mindful, and more grateful. And I try to really say that and live it. So I want everyone to try that. Again, we're going to be on next week. This is Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio, which I'm so grateful to be a member of now on Blog Talk Radio. I can't thank my producer Gwendolyn Holden-Berry and my muse enough for what this past year has been. We're starting on our second year now, Gwendolyn. How wonderful.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I'm going to be coming to you next week. I will not be in New York for our next broadcast. I will be, I have to check my calendar. I think I'm going to be in San Francisco, but I'm in Philadelphia tonight. I'm going to go to the museum tomorrow and to the King of Prussia Mall. I'm going to be doing all sorts of errands and stuff around town. So if I bump into any of my listeners, please come up and say hi. And other than that, Gwendolyn, do you have anything quick you'd like to say to everyone? We only have a couple of minutes left. Anything you want to
I want to wish everybody a very happy and joyful equinox season, the fall. And remember, it's also the time of decadence, and it's Dionysian, and so you should celebrate especially with the family you've chosen. And if you're going to be in San Francisco next week, you simply have to go down to Valencia Street and walk into a little shop, well, a little bigger shop, called the Scarlet Sage Herb Shop, and ask for Roya. She'll show you all our bottles there, and it's a great place to go. You'll love it. They have everything.
Great.
Everything.
Well, I will write that down. You and I always do our little phone call after our broadcast, and I will talk about that, and I'm going to write everything down I should do, because I love San Francisco. Oh, my God. You know something? I've loved everywhere. Last week, we were in Memphis and Nashville, and we were in Minneapolis before that. I'm loving traveling all over the country and meeting people everywhere. A handshake to me is the opening of a magical world. Every handshake is the opening of a magical world. So I can't wait. And I'm so glad to be back in Philly, which is going to be a second home for me this year. It looks like we're going to be visiting Philly a lot. Well, there's our time. Gwendolyn, I love you, love you, love you. I'll see you next week. And why don't you take us out with our wonderful musical theme? Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to Come Now, Don't Sulk.
Good night, Mommy. Love you.
Good night.